Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello and welcome to the show. I'm so glad you chose to join us. Our guest today is Paula Bates, and the topic is Life in Atlantis. What a curious topic. I'm excited about the show. I think it's going to strike a chord with a lot of us. And before we delve into this topic, I wanted to just take a moment and talk about this idea of soul and ego, the relationship we have between us, you and me talking and listening, typically is our egos, doesn't have to be. And behind every single human being on the planet, there's a soul. And when you come to understand the nature of being a soul, having a human experience, perhaps through past life regression, perhaps through aha moments, there's a real sense of peace and understanding of, from a much deeper level, of the notion of what it means to be a human being living on this planet. Certainly, by living here, it's pretty easy to see that there's quite a bit of turmoils in the collective consciousness of humanity. And there's these souls, you, me, everyone, every one of us is a soul personified as a human being. And you can go your entire lifetime and just stay in your mind, stay in your ego, and never contemplate soul, spirituality, life purpose, any of that. There's no requirements. Here's an opportunity to have another thought now, and here's another thought now. You can take that wherever you want to go. But I suggest the time you take to contemplate who you are in the sense of a soul and why you're here as a sense of a life purpose or perhaps a life lesson can really bring some benefit to the ego or the mind, in the sense that there's a real resiliency to who you are. In other words, the truth of you is untouchable by man's intention. Your soul has a consistency that transcends this lifetime. In other words, whatever happens to you physically doesn't touch the essence of who you are. And there's some real peace to that once you genuinely know it in your bones that you are safe now. You are secure now. Doesn't mean your body can't go through some crazy times and you can lose your body in what's called death, but your soul continues on. The truth of you existed before you were even born. So when we go into this topic tonight, life in Atlantis, I suggest there'll be an element of us, people listening, that are going to have some resonance to the story, the topic. I think in this time that we're living in now, it's kind of there's no kind of to it. It's a big transition point for humanity. And the story of Atlantis has some pretty significant transitions to it, too. So maybe those two threads will find some common ground. Our guest tonight, Paula Bates, has always been an explorer of the spiritual realm, doing her utmost to follow the path that Spirit has laid out before her. Her explorations have led her to study with a multitude of teachers, including Star Hawk, Sonia Shulkit, and Brian Weiss. We've talked about Brian before on this show, to name a few. In addition to being an author and a seeker, she is a certified past life regression therapist, a certified sensory practitioner, an intuitive counselor, a licensed mental health counselor, a Reiki master, and an artist. She has paintings. In 2002, at a Brian Weiss past life regression workshop, she relived a past life in ancient Atlantis that shook her world. And what came out of that was a lot of emotionally charged information from her remote past that she had translated into a book, The Atlantean Legacy. I want to, without further ado, bring her on the show. Welcome to the show, Paula.
Hello. Thank you for having me on your show. I'm really excited about being here.
I'm delighted to have you here.
Great.
So, did you see yourself writing a book about Atlantis when you were growing up?
No, not at all. I never considered myself a writer, which was what was very interesting about this book manifesting itself. It seemed like it was something I had to do once I'd had that experience, that past life regression, where I experienced a little nugget of the past life in Atlantis. So, and that happened by attending a workshop with Brian Weiss, who is such an excellent teacher. And at that time, there was a whole group of us. It was at an Omega workshop in New York in 2002. And at that time, I was regressed. And this life, unexpectedly, I didn't expect anything about Atlantis to come through, but it sure did. And when it came through, it was so strong. I saw it was at the end of the Atlantis. I saw the whole Atlantis going down. And it was so intense and so, just incredible that when I came out of that trance, I was really shaking and teared up, and just it was so emotional. And I really felt like I had to pursue it after that.
So. I know when I've done past life regressions myself, the feeling of being there is hard to describe. It's very similar to how you feel now. I mean, it's such a whole body experience, at least for myself, where I was so immersed in the context of the regression. It was such an absolute feeling of being there. When you were in this first episode with going back to Atlantis, what kind of a perspective did you have? I mean, you were talking about the last days, if you will. Those are my words. But did you see it from above? Did you see it from your own, like, your own perspective embodied? Or
what was
what that look like?
Yeah, it was at the very end, and I was one of seven priestesses. And we had stayed on the island. The rest of Atlantis was had evacuated. Most of the people had evacuated. We were still on the island, and we were in this room where we held hands, and we were sending this energy around the circle. Well, one of the things that was really interesting, and I thought, well, where did this come from, was that we each had these little crystal implants. They'd been surgically implanted in our foreheads, where our third eye is. And because of that, we were able to manipulate this energy, and we got it going around and around the circle, and it just, after a while, it built up so powerfully strong that it catapulted us out of our bodies, and it was something that we were planning to do at the end. We knew we would do this at the end, and it catapulted us out of our bodies, and we were looking down, and the next thing I remember is there's all seven of us are like in our spirit forms, and we're looking down, and we're watching the buildings collapse on our bodies, and we're watching the volcano erupt, and we're watching the tidal waves come in, and then we're watching Atlantis as it just sinks into the ocean, and that's the end. And that was the end of my progression there. And when I came out of that, I was so taken. It was so real. It was so real to me.
Oh, I can understand that feeling. What a powerful story. I mean, it's such a I don't think bold covers it. It's such a monumental transition of a culture, and from the book, apparently there was a month or two of warning, if you will, that event was going to happen, and so the culture could disperse and move to new locations all over the globe.
Mm-hmm.
And then that, like you said, that last event was such a decisive thing.
Yes. Yes, and that was really interesting for me, too, because while I was writing the book, I made it a point not to read any other Atlantean things so that I wouldn't be pulled off into
right.
somebody else's vision of it. And later on, I was reading some of the Casey stuff. In fact, there was something in the Casey Venture magazine just this week about it, or this month about it. And that was about how they were warned, a lot of the people were able to evacuate before the end. So that was one little piece I wasn't quite sure about. And you know, one of the things about the information that came through for me, I don't claim to have the only truth of Atlantis. I just have what came through for me. And, you know, we all have our own filters. And even our memories here in this present lifetime, they're through our filters. You know, five people can watch the same accident and they all have a different report on it. So it's,
yes.
So I don't say, you know, my story is the story. It's what's important for what I've realized as I wrote the book, that what's important about it is the emotional content or the feeling that you get from it, whether the facts are there or you say, you know what, I don't really buy that part, you know, at all. It's that part that does get triggered that's important for you. And for every person, it's going to be different. I think what parts really sing to you.
Well, you're talking about a past life for yourself. Here we
mm-hmm.
are in 2016. And then we go back in time to the days of Atlantis, and you had that connection with a lifetime in Atlantis. I got to think, I mean, when I was reading the book, there were parts of that book where I felt like my soul just descended in my body, and I'm so pumped with energy. It's like I get the feeling that the book spoke to me in the sense of my memories of the same kind of a relationship with a past life within me. It's I think perhaps the reason this book came out through you and you turned around and wrote the book about it, which is a great book. I really liked it.
Thank you.
Is that it's time for us to wake up and see a more contiguous sense of ourself over time and kind of get that bigger picture of who we are. Do you feel like that in 2002 when you had that experience that was one of the purposes of your soul in this lifetime was to stir the memories of the past for us?
Yes, I was told by, now, I had mentioned that I worked with Sonia Choquette, and she's a pretty well-known psychic and has a lot of books that she's written and stuff, and I worked with her, and one of the things she did tell me at the time was, or as I was writing, was that, yes, that was one of my big purposes in life was to write these books and to get them out there. So one of the things that has been happening for me is that there has been, as these books have come through, it has been one synchronistic happening after another, up to the point where I'm on your show tonight. It's just one, it's all synchronistic. It's like, and all I can do is take the next step. No, there's a part of me that's thinking, this is not what I planned, you know, to be marketing books and, you know, doing this, all this, but it's my next big step and it's what I need to do. And so that is what I am doing. And I do feel like it is my purpose. And one of the things that I think is really was interesting when you said you were reading the books and you felt parts of you were stimulated,
yes.
Your memories. I was told that as I channeled the books, that energy portals were sort of imported into the story. And I wasn't aware of that, but that was the reaction I've gotten from quite a few people, like just like what you said, that it's like there's certain parts where you just, it just feels like there's some kind of energy embedded in it. And that's all I know, and I can't prove it, and I, you know,
well, sure.
That's what it feels like to me, and when you said that, that was really, really affirming.
Well, you know, the Western mind, or if you will, the scientific mind, they want to pull out some instrument and say, well, you know, bollycocks, we can't measure any of this, therefore it's bunk. And it's like,
yeah.
Oh, please. I mean, if we made every choice in our life based strictly on our mind, we would go so far down the rabbit hole in no time. I think the ego left untended, the lifespan of humanity on the earth would truncate really fast. It's that higher soul, and you know when you respond and pay attention to that inspiration of writing books, of getting on shows and whatnot, for myself, like, I've written books, and I never saw myself an author. There's this this soul presence, I suggest, in all of us, and there's some real value in paying attention to that and tuning into it and for your own mind to conjure up a clearer and clearer vision of this baseline or core purpose of your life, I suggest really bring some value to it, because here you are on a radio show promoting a book, and this might not have been in your mindset in the past, but you've honored that inspiration and you've showed up and things keep unfolding.
Yes, absolutely. And these books are just, they're my babies. And they are unfolding, and it's exciting. It's exciting to watch it happen.
So in the book, you're a high priestess.
Yes.
Which is quite an accomplished stature in the community, and here you are now awakening to that memory of you. I've always been fascinated by, you know, in the book, the priestesses and the priests would talk to the god goddess essence for advice, right? And
yes.
And even though there's so much power in that deity, if you will, it always boils down to human beings doing the actual work, if you will. Never do they reach over our shoulder and change the condition. It has to be through us humans who tune in to that information and then take action on it. It's human beings that are going to change the storyline of humanity. So I love that your book is coming out. I mean, it's out now, and it's about such a powerful time and such a powerful culture. Do you see a lot of similarities between the culture in the book and the culture we're living in now?
Well, yes, I do, in that we have this fear-based situation going on here where people are being, they're fearful of just for their lives. People want to buy guns. People want to build fences to keep people out of our country. There's just this place where we're not tuning in to our own inner guidance, to our own inner spirit, our own light. And not all of us are doing that. Some of us are working very hard on the other way to be enlightened, or to be in the light, so to speak. But at the same time,
sure,
we're bringing up the shadow side here, and that's one thing I see as positive. We have been bringing up the shadow side to look at it, and that's one of the things in my Atlantean story that they didn't do. They suppressed the shadow side so that it was all you could see was the light and the beautiful stuff, which there was a lot of it. It was really a beautiful society in many ways. It was highly technologically advanced, but they were controlled in many ways by this. They had this chip that was embedded in them that is much like our devices that we have that we carry around, and had a lot of that type of abilities, but it also had an ability to be controlled and to be watched over by the government. But people just allowed those things to be done because of the safety that it ensured them. And this is the same thing that in many ways people have done or are doing, as they're trading off their freedoms for safety. So I do see that happening.
A sense of safety, not any real safety.
Right, right. Exactly.
Well, you know, I like the idea of the shadow. It's like, you know, wet cleanup aisle 5. We have a karmic tragedy on this planet. Get the mop and bucket out, you know. Some of the characters in the book would have suppressed, I guess, darkness, if you will, get stirred in them. I think it's really important for us, the way emotions are, that if you have an emotion you don't like and all you do is shove it down in your psyche, that's not mastering emotions, that's charging your emotions so you can have a louder lesson later in your life. You bring up a good point in that with these fear-based mindsets that are coming up in the collective, the only way we're going to be free of them over time is to turn around and face them and own them and understand them for what they are, as just lessons of our human nature for us to understand and master.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things about hypnosis, past life regression, is that it can bring up past lives, and they don't necessarily have to be Atlantean past lives, but they can bring up past lives that have a charge around them, and you're bringing up some darkness and some. A lot of the times, when you bring up a past life, it's something that has a charge to it. So there's a lot of times it's a negative thing, or it feels negative, or it feels scary, or it feels like a lesson you need to learn, and you bring that up, and it helps to release the charge, that emotional charge that's around it, so that it doesn't affect you in your daily life, and you're able to release that shadow, that piece of the shadow in your conscious mind.
Well, sure. Well, let's talk about past life regression. Can it be dangerous or scary?
Well, one thing to remember when you're doing a past life regression is that, number one, it already happened. Number two, you're always in control, and that all you have to do is open your eyes and you're back in the room. But if you have some concern about that, that you don't trust that feeling yourself, then it's good to look for a certified past life regression therapist in your area and work with them, because in many ways they're very helpful. It's very helpful to have a guide. And when you do get to those times in your past lives that are hard to deal with, or like maybe you had a gruesome death or something, they can pull you up above the scene so you're not immersed in it, so that you don't feel it as intensely.
Yeah, well, you know, I could speak to that. The very first moment I did a past life regression, I did it for my birthday, and I was raised Mormon, and all this stuff was hokey pokey stuff and not to be given much thought. And I'm like, well, you know, damn it, I want to know the truth. And in my first moment, I came into this life when I was on a ship, like in Christopher Columbus days, the Nina, the Pina, the Santa Maria, that era ship, in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of the night, during a hurricane. And I come, you know, I'm dripping wet. Most everybody on the boat's in the water drowning, and here comes another wave. This is the first 10 seconds of my past life regression. Here comes a wave, and I'm off the side of, and now I'm one of the blokes in the water drowning. And like you said, the past life regression person said, well, just come up, just, because I was coughing and choking. And she just brought me up a little bit out of the, you know, out of my body and just above the scene. And my sensation of choking stopped immediately. And I observed me drowning. And I had had several water events in this lifetime where I had so much emotion come up in me because I was in water over my head. And it really connected the dots for me. So do you think sometimes that past life regression can be a way to heal unresolved memories of your psyche?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And actually, sometimes, you know, some people don't believe in past life regression, or that they're past lives. And ultimately, it doesn't matter whether it's really a past life or not, because sometimes it can be that it is your subconscious mind bringing a metaphor up for you to release some of the issues you have going on in the present life and to heal them. So it doesn't matter whether it's a past life or not, or really. But for me, I think the proof for me with the past life was the emotional charge around it.
Yeah.
And I do think that it does absolutely help your healing. And it can do things like, oh, so you have this pain in your leg and you don't know where it came from, and then you do a past life regression and you find out your leg was cut off in World War I or something, you know? It's that kind of
sure.
thing. So,
well,
yeah, it can definitely heal.
I think sometimes trauma to our body is what shuts down our intuition. When I think sometimes we're kind of pushed up into our heads to live in our egos and stare at our phones and be perpetually distracted, because there's feelings and sensations in our body that we don't want to look at. And it's always better, from my perspective, to face the totality of who you are, because whatever comes up, if it's in your psyche, it's associated with you. And if it's unresolved, it's not settled and at peace. And boy, howdy, do we need some peace on this planet. And peace comes from individuals. The collective consciousness won't get up one day and vote peace on a ballot somewhere. They'll go inside themselves and find that inner peace. And when we all do that collectively, that's when we all have peace on Earth.
Absolutely.
So it seems like past life regression can be kind of a doorway to move towards that direction, don't you think?
I do. And doing the inner work is just the most important thing. And to follow, like we were talking about, taking the next big step and to follow the intuitive hits. And like you said, when you're not in your body, when your mind's out in your device somewhere or something, it's like a lot of us are walking around like we're puppets and our minds are moving our bodies, but we're not really in there. It's just like strings attached, and we're just kind of going through the motions, and we're really in our heads. So absolutely, I do believe that doing any kind of healing work, whether it's past life regression or it's Reiki or it's doing your own forms of meditation, any number of things is so important for us to reach that place in the hundredth monkey kind of thing where we will have world peace at one point because we've all done our inner work.
Well, when you had that past life, you probably might have had more than just one about Atlantis. I noticed that I could really have a feeling. I could connect with the feeling of what it felt like to be alive then. Did you get a sense that the Atlantean population was at peace with itself and harmonious? I know there were dark elements on the planet, but I mean, was their culture advanced and harmonious?
I think a large part of it was, at least on the surface, was they had their they had the chips, and with it, the chips that were embedded in their hands and their arms allowed them to be connected to each other in a way that's kind of like we are now. But it also took care of them financially. They had it gave them a certain stipend every month as long as they were doing, you know, what they were supposed to be doing. And so in many ways it was a very idyllic society. However, there was the dark side, and so because there was the part that wasn't being looked at, where they were being controlled, it wasn't as idyllic as it had seemed on the surface.
In the book, you talk about there's several couples, men and women, who are going through this. Becoming priests and priestess, and the chips in their hands would literally, if they found themselves becoming more and more passionate with each other, the chips would actually shut them down.
I'm sorry. Go on.
Well, the point I was getting at is, the classes they were taking, the rites and rituals they were learning, were the sacred rites of sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that was a powerful component, like you were talking, you were one of the priestesses that would charge the energy in the with the crystals, that sexual energy can be what we can use now in this time. I think some of the dark side has tainted sexuality with this veil of shame and guilt, and that's really polluted and diluted a very sacred aspect of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. That was part of what happened in the in Atlantis, in that they wanted to control the part of sexuality that has the negative aspects, where it has to do with rape and child molestation and that sort of thing. And that's where they started doing this thing where they were controlling the people's sexuality. And then they had this whole, they created this whole ritual around their sexuality, so that they had to go through this ritual in order to be able to then be fully sexual in their lives. And that's one of the things that the people were really rebelling against, was that they didn't want to be controlled that way anymore. And the sexuality part was one of the huge parts of it. That was one of the huge parts where they were needing to be controlled, or at least the government wanted to control that so that people would feel safe, and so they bought into it.
Well, it would seem then because the principles of being powerful, the principles, because part of the ritual you say in your book is opening up the heart, mm-hmm. and connecting at that heart level. There's so many analogies that could translate into our lifetime now, this culture, this period of time now that we're alive in, would be to, you and me, the listeners, to purify our heart space and to honor the sacredness of our sexuality and to really kind of cleanse the view of ourselves, because for so long it's been there's been a real demoralizing posture towards our bodies and our sexuality. To heal that would help us now, don't you think?
Oh, yes. And I think that's part of what's happening in this culture now, is when all these things about, like, the Catholic priests and molestation and those sorts of things, they're coming to the surface in order to be healed, which is a good thing, even though at times it may seem like it's an ugly thing. And then we've gone through so much in the last 50 years, you know, with the sexual revolutions in the 60s, and just changing people, how people look at sexuality. And then it's come around almost to the point where it's too far, where people don't understand the sacredness of it, and it becomes more of just a commodity to throw off. The sacredness of it is so beautiful, and that connection is so beautiful. I think that is a way, one of the paths for healing in this society right now is through understanding the beauty of our sexuality.
That was conveyed in the book as steps or rituals of passage, mm-hmm. as, like, when couples wanted to be together, there was timing involved with some couples where it was like they had a hint of it, but it wouldn't be till years later until they were energetically on the same page. I think being mindful of that kind of stuff can really help us tune into the sacredness of it, because sometimes it's that subtle energy that's got the power behind it, and you got to be still to feel that.
No, I was saying by the subtle energy. What were you referring to?
Well, when in your book, there were couples that when they first met, they felt that yearning of each other, and they would kind of hold it at bay.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't flaring up in them like, you know, passionate moments. They had just that hint of it. It's almost like soulmates or soul partners coming together for the first time in the physical realm, where you have that hint of, hey, we've got things to do together here. And it, in those first moments, it seemed like it was pretty subtle. And then years later, it's almost like they wouldn't act on it because they weren't sure if the other person had the same feelings. And then later on in the book, they actually connect and talk and say, well, yeah, I feel the same way too. And it's kind of a soul connection. But in the first times that they meet, they both keep it to themselves. It's real subtle, kind of, they weren't too sure of it.
Yeah, yeah. And then they had to arrange to go through the ritual if they wanted to be with each other.
Sure, and well, that was that priestess level, because there, it seemed like there was so much energy involved. I mean, when they would charge up the crystals with their energy, it sounded like quite an event, as far as they'd bring up earth energy from their root chakra and God goddess energy through their crown chakra, and collectively everybody in the room holding the same intent, the palatable energy of that consciousness would just go through the roof in the room.
Yeah, yeah. So in that way, they were really very highly advanced in their ability to use their connection to the energetic realm as a way to actually charge the crystals and be able to use that as power in their you know, like electricity.
Quite literally electricity, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so it was quite a story as it came through for me. I mean, it was intense. It was like, oh my God, am I really writing this? Yes, I am. I'm glad. I love the story. I mean, it to me, it was so much fun to write it, and it was just, you know, it's a love story, and I love
that. Sure.
And I love the sexuality in it, and it's all very cool, but I'm going like, oh boy,
there's
a little lot here. Okay,
it's very racy, if that's the word. I want to be careful with my words because I want to honor it, because it wasn't like 50 Shades of Grey sexual. It was whole body, whole being, open heart communion, if you will, sexual, and it was. When I was reading the book, I'm like, good golly, you know, what a story. I liked it. I think it's an excellent book.
Thank you. You know, that was interesting to talk about it. Interesting to talk about it, because it is like you said, it is a bit racy, and people read it and they go, oh, I didn't expect that, you know, and it's like, well, you know, that's just part of the story. That's what I got. And, you know, whether people want to go with that or not, I, you know, it doesn't matter. It's just, it was just the part that came for me for some reason.
Well, so when you're writing the book, when you're channeling, when you're the conduit of this story coming out through you, what advice would you give to people when they feel like they're channeling?
Well, for one thing, I always put a protection around myself. I put a circle of light, a divine light around me, and direct that no one or no thing that is not for my highest good may enter the circle. So that's one thing I always do. And then I put myself in a meditative trance. And sometimes if you're channeling, I mean, it depends on how it works for you, how it tends to flow through. For me, I tend to consciously open up my seventh chakra and allow, ask for energy to come, or the knowledge or information to come in. And I try to keep myself grounded, keep my feet flat on the floor. Sometimes I'll play music. I played music while I was writing that book. And that helped bring in the information. So, but one of the things to do is to trust, to just trust when the words are coming through and not to judge them or try to stop them, but just write. And that's one of the things, like I do readings too, and one of the things that I've learned when I do my readings on people is that I have to say what's coming, and it may seem stupid, and it may seem like, what in the world am I getting that for? But if I don't say it, it blocks the flow, and the rest of the information doesn't come through. So when you're channeling, I think that's a really important thing to let the words come, and to, like, if you're writing them out or you're just speaking them out, whatever, you need to just trust and know it's okay.
I like that. And sometimes you can write down some information and you think it's relevant to you in that moment, like, here's this information for me right now. And then 2 weeks later, you know, your mother passes or you lose your job or some other event happens. And then you read that same sentence and it's like, oh, wait a minute. This wasn't about that moment. This was for me today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so yeah. By, like you say, don't question it. Don't get your mind involved.
Yeah.
There's plenty of minds on the planet. Landmines. Oh boy, what a context that seems like. Our Western mind won't be what's going to be solving the conundrum of the collective consciousness. It'll be when we can get our minds out of the way, and like you say, tune in or channel that higher wisdom, that higher information that can guide us through these moments.
Yeah, and that's one of the challenges is to not judge it and to just let it come on through. One of the things I've found that when I do this stuff, like even this book, I read it now and I go, did I really write that? And a lot of times when I'm channeling, and like I do a lot of channeling in my journals, and I will write them, and as I'm writing it, it just seems like it's my own thoughts in a lot of ways. But I know it's not because I've got the flow going. But then I'll read it back later, and it's kind of like what you were saying. It just feels it doesn't sound like me. It sounds like it came from another source. And the information is really interesting, you know, from that other source.
Have you had any other past lives that you feel like you're going to be writing about?
Well, at this point, yes, I have had some other past lives. I'm not sure I'm going to be writing about them, but I am aware of other past lives. Some of them are, most of them are not nearly as exciting as the Atlantean one. But, yeah, at some point I want to write more, and I may involve some other past lives.
I see on your website you're also an artist. Can you tell us about your work?
Yeah, I'm. I do metaphysical paintings. At least that's what I'm calling them now. At one point, I did more traditional oil paints, and then it kind of eventually evolved into more of this abstract metaphysical work. I have been told that I have a council of guides that helps me with the projects, which makes sense to me because I don't, when I get done with them, kind of like when I'm channeling, I'm like, where did this come from? And I'm working with mixed media, so I can use all kinds of different things in one painting, and it's really interesting what does evolve when I get out of my own way.
So There's examples of your work at paulabates.com?
Yes, yes. I have my little art gallery up that you can see my work there, I guess.
So do you, were you saying you feel like you channel when you create this art?
Yes, yes. It is a type of channeling, yes. And it feels, like I said, it feels similar to when I'm writing and channeling, and then I when it's done, I'm thinking, where did this come from? You know, this is really interesting, what came about.
I think a lot of times the art talks to our subconscious, it like blows by our ego, our mind, and the color and the shapes are like trigger points, if you will, to stir us up from a much deeper place.
Mm-hmm. And so probably most artists channel their work. They may not look at it that way, but I think a lot of artists do.
So it seems like you have a free download, Inspirations from the Atlantean Legacy.
That's right. This was a CD that was made by three musician friends of mine who really liked the book, and they got together one evening and they channeled the music in 3 hours. They did the whole CD. It's just beautiful. There's harp music. There's voice and toning and crystal bowls, and there's another person who's channeling ancient language, and the download is at paulabates.com/Atlantean Music/, and there's two songs from that that you can download, and it's just this beautiful harp music with the crystal bowls and the voices.
Wow, very nice. So if somebody wanted to find more about past life regression, where would you suggest they start?
Well, if they're just wanting to explore, I would suggest they go to Brian Weiss's website, because he has a lot of good frequently asked questions about past life regression that has just a lot of good information. But you can just go to YouTube and Google a lot of things. If you wanted to have a past life regression done, you could check around with locally with your friends or at a New Age bookstore, or Google past life regression in your area, and you should be able to find quite a lot, or hopefully you could find somebody near enough that you could go to.
It seems like this will be more and more common as people wake up to their purpose and the bigger picture of the truth of who they are.
That might be true. I think that people are really fascinated with the idea of past life regression. It's interesting, though, that past lives, if we think in terms of everything existing at the same time, we can get into a whole other thing there, but that our lives all existing at the same time, which is very fascinating and a little bit hard to quite wrap your mind around.
So it's more of a lateral movement instead of a backward movement.
Yeah. It's like the idea of your hand and each finger being a past life, but they're all making up one hand. It's that kind of an idea.
How do you... So it sounds like there was an awakening in 2002. How has your life changed? I mean, how do you feel about your life? How has your life changed as far as your experience of it since this aspect of it has opened up?
Well, I've spent a lot of time writing, which I didn't think I would. I never thought about being a writer, and then I produce this book, and that was pretty major change in my opinion of myself, my attitude, and my idea who I am. And it's also opened up the idea that, wow, if I really was able to do some of these things in Atlantis, maybe I can bring some of those skills forward and open those up here now in this present life. So that's kind of one of the things I've been working on and focusing on is how to reopen some of those skills, which is some of the training I've been doing and all. So, yeah, it's given me a little bit of a different focus now than I had before.
Well, very nice. Well, an hour goes by pretty fast, so I want to make sure. Can you share with us how our listeners can get your book and any other information you want to share as far as the work you're doing and contacting you?
Yes, you can contact me through my website at paulabates.com. And my books are available at Amazon.com. And Synergy Books is also Synergybooks.com is my publisher, and you can get them through there as well. So, and please look at my art and enjoy it, and get those downloads, because it's really beautiful music. And then there's a link to the rest of the CD if you're interested in hearing any more cuts from it, and you know, the little sample cuts, and you can buy the CD there.
Well, Paula, it's been delightful having you on the show. I really enjoyed your book. It was such a wonderful read, and it's been so nice talking to you. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me on the show. It's been really fun.
Paula Bates. You know, when you recognize that bigger sense of self, that soul aspect of you, and you take the time to connect with it and learn to listen to it, learn to recognize when it's showing up in your everyday life with new information that's pertinent to whatever's happening, there's this this deeper knowing. It's really, for me, it's there's a real sense of peace that comes from understanding how the permanence of your soul, that no matter what choice you make in this moment, no matter what actions happen on this planet, that you're safe. You're safe. That's it. You're safe. Period. End of story. You're safe. Sometimes our ego gets so afraid, so fearful, and we hear the saber rattling and all these insanely stupid decisions being made by people who want to be in influential positions, that you can drop into fear. But the more time you take to understand the truth of who you are, the more at peace and at rest you'll be. At rest, at peace, in your own being now. And when you're at peace in this collective consciousness, in this hologram of consciousness, you're casting your vote for peace on Earth. And from my perspective, that's a very powerful thing to offer the collective, is to be a point of presence, a point of peace in the collective consciousness of humanity on this planet at this time. Well, you know, you showed up for this show tonight, so you've taken steps to better understand who you are. New Human Living is here to help you understand the truth of who you are so you can live a more peaceful life. Go sign up for our newsletter at newhumanliving.com, because we're going to feed you information to help you live a more powerful life. Thanks for joining us tonight.
This has been a New Human Living radio broadcast to bring your soul's inspiration into effect and live your life wide open. Check out our host, Les Jensen's latest book, Citizen King, The New Age of Power, at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.